Welcome, playoff action underway. One round in the books. Wild card round out of the way. Some surprising outcomes, some not so surprising outcomes, but no surprise on two of the opponents are next week because that's the buys. Anyways, yeah, let's get to it. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, Weasel and Chris, ready to bring you playoff action. And of course, well, in our opening game here, there was only really action for one team, except for maybe one play. Of course, I'm referring to the Ravens beatdown of the Kansas City Chiefs. What we have for that, Chris?
Joe Flacco was sacked and lost the fumble in the first quarter, and the Chiefs haven't lost two plays later on a Jamaal Charles 41-yard touchdown run. They put him up 7-3. Think the game is over? Nah. That was the only highlight of the Chiefs, as they had one third down conversion on the day to lose 30-7 to the Ravens.
Nicely, yes. I was hoping you would mention that one third down conversion. Kind of a big deal of that. Anyways, yeah.
For the Ravens, Joe Flacco is 25-34, 74%, 265 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. He did lose that one fumble, but he was sacked four times. Matt Cassell, 9-18, 50%, 70 yards, no touchdowns, three interceptions. He was sacked three times. Amazingly, with his three interceptions, he had three interceptions all year long at home. He had three in one day in the Ravens.
I will grant him this. One of his interceptions should be negated for one reason alone.
Is the safety Haruki Nakamura?
Yes.
Fumbled the ball.
That's
after
correct.
He intercepted it?
Hey, fall on the fucking ground, dude! I mean, he got stuck between his own fat men and couldn't run. At that point, you just drop. And some opportunistic. Look, nothing gets you more desperate than if you're on the field on offense and an interception takes place. You're hoping the ball comes your way so you can try to tear it out and save the damn day. Having been there. Not that, you know, not that my quarterback threw a lot of interceptions, but...
Who's the other safety for the Ravens? Who runs the ball back all the time?
Agreed.
Yeah. So he sees him do it. It must not be that hard. Fumble.
Okay, if you're that cocky to think you're Ed Reed, and you're not, that's a you problem.
I think he was maybe looking to the lateral even. That was dumb, but...
So, circus ball. Yeah, you know how I feel about that, right, Weasel?
You know what happened? They punted anyway on the series, so it didn't matter.
Exactly. It did cancel out as so, but in fairness, I think that there should be something to where we say that Castle technically only had two interceptions, but the books will say three. I mean, it was even better than a punt. Let's call it what it is. Of course, they had to punt anyway. Right. But moving on.
On the ground, Ray Rice, 17 carries, 57 yards, 3.35 average. He did have a long of 14 that brings it down to 2.7. Willis McGahee, 10 for 44, 4.4 with a touchdown. That touchdown was a 25-yard run, so you take that out, and it's 2.1 a carry. Joe Flacco, 7 for 26, 3.7. And Jalen Parmalee, 4 for 13, 3.25. All them came late in the game, like the last drive.
For what that's worth for McGahee, even though his yards per were pretty comparatively insignificant, being well less than three, he did have the touchdown that would turn out to a seal of the deal.
Nice run, too. He waited for his blocks, made two moves, and then it was gone.
Waiting for your blocks. Yes, more running backs do need to do that. Anyway.
For the Chiefs, Jamaal Charles, 9 for 82, 9.1 a carry with a touchdown, which was a 41-yarder. He did also lose a fumble. Take the 41-yarder out, it's 9.1, drops it down to 5.1, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, 5 yards is a carry is awesome.
Thomas Jones, 5 for 15, 3 average, and Matt Cassell had 3 scrambles for 6 yards. For the Ravens, through the air, Todd Heat, 10 for 108 yards. Anquan Boldin, 5 for 64 with a touchdown. Ray Rice, 5 for 42 with a touchdown.
Todd Heat was running like a slot receiver in that game, and I'll tell you, he was doing that earlier in his career, and he's done that before. But to see him doing it today, or that day, rather, at his age, after recovering from an injury, that important a game, against that good a secondary, absolutely amazing to me. I mean, yeah, there you go.
For the Chiefs, through there, Dexter McCluster, 4 catches, 17 yards with a lost fumble. Tony Milwaukee, 1 for 22. Jamaal Charles, 1 for 15. And Dwayne Bowe had the goose egg, 0 catch.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, they were all hyping him up. Oh, this is his breakout year. Well, apparently somebody got him back in prison. I'm just like.
First down, Baltimore at 26, the Chiefs 8.
Mm-hmm.
yards, 390 to 161. Turnover is a big difference here. 2 for Baltimore. One of them came on that interception. The other one was that fumble that the Chiefs scored on. 5 for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Time of possession, almost 42 minutes, 41-44 for the Ravens, 18-16 for the Chiefs. Third down, 9 of 17 for the Ravens, 1 for 8 for Kansas City, 13%.
I mean, where do we start on what the difference was here? 26 and a half minutes in time of possession? Come on.
How many turnovers was that for the Chiefs?
5.
Now, they showed, like, after the first turnover, that a stat that all year the Chiefs had 14 turnovers. All year.
And, yeah, they also did a similar stat for Castle, I think, after he got some, like, that
he
mentioned earlier.
Yeah, he had three interceptions at home.
It was
a 3-1 game.
Right.
16 games, 14 turnovers, this game, 5.
Somebody looked at the stat line and said, damn it!
Yeah, three Kansas City turnovers in the second half led to a touchdown and 2 field goals for the Ravens.
So, yeah, I mean, that was the game I think we were... See, that's what's funny is we thought for sure that there were other games we thought for sure that we knew the ending to, but this one we were more sure to pick than some of the other games out there, such as the Seahawks facing off against the Saints. We thought we knew the answer to that. We weren't just from talking about it, I think Weasley even said, well, the Seahawks maybe, and we cited injuries that it could be a problem. Well, how'd that go, Weasel?
Some say that it was a travesty that the Seahawks, a team that won its division with a dismal 7-9 record...
And I'm one of those some, even still, for the record.
...was able to host a playoff game. Well, in this NFC wildcard matchup against the Saints, they knocked out the defending Super Bowl champs out of the playoffs with a 41-36 victory. For the Saints, Drew Brees was 39 of 60.
Say that again for everybody so they understand what just happened there.
39 of 60.
One more time.
39 of 60.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny. I watched the game and they started stat in the third quarter. He had 40 completions. Or 40 attempts, I meant. He had 40 attempts in the third quarter. And I'm like, he could throw the ball for 60 times.
Yeah.
And he did. And then I was watching I think it was the Packers game or the Ravens game. They're like, talking about total offensive plays. So, like, if you have more than 60, you know you're doing a good job there. And I'm like, Brees yesterday threw for 60.
Yeah, right. Well, if we had like ESPN staff, I would ask for staff on how many games where there were more than 25 attempts, let's say, by each quarterback, that one quarterback had more completions than the other quarterback had attempts and still lost the game. That's retarded.
Yeah, he was 65% with that, 404 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs, and dropping back 60 times, sacked once.
Wow.
Yeah, you hear 404 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and they still lost the game.
We'll get to that later. Weasel?
In the rushing game, Julius Jones, actually former Seahawk, lost a fumble, but had 15 rushes for 59 yards, 3.9 average with 2 touchdowns. Reggie Bush had 5 for 12, 2.4 average, and Reese added 2 scrambles for 6 yards. In the receiving game, we got 9 players to mention. Usually we wouldn't name so many, but they all had pretty darn good stats.
No, do it, Weaver. It's not like you threw the ball 60 times.
Yeah, it's like 204 yards.
Devery Anderson had 7 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. Marquez Colston had 4 for 66. Julius Jones had 6 for 61. Lance Moore had 4 for 49. Tight end Dave Thomas had 4 for 38. Reggie Bush had 5 for 37. Robert Meacham had 3 for 29. Tight end Khaki Jeremy Shackey had 2 for 24. Fullback Keith Edmonds had 4 for 23 with a touchdown.
See, Reggie Bush should have had another catch for a touchdown, but he dropped the ball again inside the 10.
Ooh.
Hey, the dude had enough to announce. All right, come on.
We have more talk about Reggie Bush later on, too.
Yeah, okay.
Now, in special teams, kicker Garrett Hartley was 3 of 3 on field goals. Now, going into this game for the Seahawks, Matt Hasselbeck was a huge question mark, not only for his injury status, but also for his performance during the regular season. Due to a hip injury, he sat out the last game of the regular season, which was a pretty big one, due to a hip injury, and was playing poorly throughout the regular season, throwing for 12 touchdowns and 17 interceptions.
Now, Weasel, I respect that you're trying not to overuse the title of the big game, But if you're playing it for your right to go to the playoffs, regardless of whether or not you can be there, it's okay to call it a big game.
Yeah, well,
let me tell you that up front, bro.
Hasselbeck did get the start over backup Charlie Whitehurst and took care of business. He was 22 of 35, 62%, 272 yards, 4 touchdowns, 190. He was sacked once.
In unrelated and little known news, Drew Brees referred to him as a giant slacker.
For Marshawn Lynch, had 19 rushes for 131 yards and a touchdown. He had an amazing 67-yard touchdown run, more on that later, but even without that, he still averaged 3.6 yards per carry.
Good stuff.
Justin Forsett had 4 for 20, 5-yard average. In the receiving game, Brandon Stokley had 4 catches for 73 yards and a touchdown. Mike Williams, the former USC receiver, former first-round pick by the Lions, kind of made a comeback this year. He had 5 catches for 68 yards and a touchdown. Ben Obamanu,
yes,
had 5 for 43. Tight end Cameron Morah had a 39-yard reception, and tight end John Carlson had 3 for 17 with 2 touchdowns. And with the Saints down 34-20 with 4:20 left, Seattle got the ball with 4:20 left in the game. It looked as if the Seahawks were looking to run down. Yeah, kind of repeated that.
The 4:20, yeah.
Whatever.
Saying.
Yeah. It looked as if the Seahawks were looking to run down the clock with the run. After being stuffed on first down, running back Marshawn Lynch broke out a 67-yard touchdown run, which he came in contact with 8 Saints defenders, breaking tackles and throwing, I think, one of the cornerbacks.
Terry Porter.
44, 5 yards.
Okay, why is that? Why is there a sense of irony here, gentlemen?
Because he was the one that intercepted the ball from Manning in the Super Bowl.
I got your champion defense right here. Yeah, it's Marshawn Lynch, biatch.
What's funny is
he got slung.
Marshawn Lynch slid in the back, like he said, 5 yards, and then Terry Porter could have got up. And
he was just so dejected.
He could have got up and made a play later on. He got up and was like jogging. Like, oh, I'll just jog here. I don't want to get hit again.
Dude, when you get slapped around by a bear, you don't run back for more. Not when you're a corner. I'm just saying.
He had a big guy next to him. He could have just held on for a little bit and pulled him down. I mean, come on, man. He was right. 8. I mean, I was counting it in the plays. 8 people he missed.
Yeah, it was 8 people.
8 people.
Now, that put the score to 41-30. Brees got the ball back at their own 30-yard line with 3:22 left in the game and put together a drive that ended with a 6-yard touchdown to Robert Meacham. 2-point conversion failed, which left the score at 41-36.
Two-point conversion. Fake.
Hartley attempted an onside kick, which the defense was actually expecting from, like, the Super Bowl last year.
Well, gosh, I wonder why that is.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
And it pathetically traveled 17 yards, giving the Saints no chance at recovery. It was like a line drive, and the guy just waited for it.
I'm glad he said that, because even if they try to put it down the line, they're like, I'm just like, he kicked the ball too hard. I'm like, don't worry about kicking it too hard. He kicked it too far downfield.
Yeah.
He stopped it too hard. He didn't angle it right.
Didn't even angle it.
Not too high. Too hard.
And it comes back to kick it to the right side of the field. Mm-hmm. The right-footed kicker, you need to go to the left. You can bring it in more when you're left. If you're coming towards the right, you got to come across your body a little more. Or you got to kind of go like this. It's not going to go 10. If you go towards your left, it's easier to get the 10 yards in that one.
I hear everything you're saying, and I agree with you, but here's the problem. We have the Sean Payton factor. So he's got to try to be all, chess player, fancy, pull things out of your butt, call an onside kick to open the second half of the Super Bowl guy here, trying to fancy it up.
You know how you could have fancied it up? Line up for an onside kick and just pooch it down the field to have his team outrun the guys over the border.
Hey.
For the ball.
That's
a way to fancy it up. Then you got the ball inside their field.
Who's the one now?
The ball's got hit the ground, though.
That's actually
handled in the way the kicker delivers the ball.
Right.
So you can get around that if he kicks it correctly. How easy that is to do is a question. Yeah. But.
So, pretty much, they gave the Saints no chance of recovery, and the Seahawks were able to run down the clock for the victory.
So, the question most asked by me, and unfortunately it was before I really had a chance to do my research and look at the stats and, get it right in my head. It's going to be a bit of a pop quiz here, gentlemen. Sorry, I know it's technically the off-season, and, we just pretend it's a summer school class pop quiz, right?
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to coach.
Yeah.
So, The question I most got was why and or the Saints really? Well, the second question is easy, and I'll even give you the answer. The Saints really? True. Why do you believe the Seahawks won the game? Go Chris first.
I think one is the lack of the running game for the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
You throw the ball 60 times, you get one pitch.
Right.
On that. But really, I mean, you can't really fault that. I mean, 404 yards, two touchdowns. It's more of the defense wasn't there at all. I know they, granted, they had a little couple injuries, you know.
Darren Sharper, for one.
Right. And then also, Malcolm Jenkins?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was hurt as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, giving up some runs, Marshawn Lynch, he still averaged, what did you say, three what?
He's still averaging 3.6
with that run. I mean,
so. Yeah, there you go. Weasel?
Well, besides the Seahawks scoring more points than the Saints.
Thanks, John.
At the end. Well, Hasselbeck, actually, he was pretty darn good. I mean, he came back from the injury, and it was doubtful he would even play, and he played good. And, yeah, the Saints' defense wasn't, you know, stopping them at all. And
okay.
The Marshawn Lynch run just, you know, that was just pathetic. I mean, tackling, they were trying to strip the ball.
You both will get an A-minus for your responses. It's not just Marshawn Lynch's 67-yard run, although it's a big deal. It's also the 45-yard touchdown. It's also the 38 touchdown passes that took place. That's three huge plays. Where was the Saints defense? And you were citing the lack of a running game. Look, dude, when you're throwing the ball 60 times at 65% and getting 400 yards, you said it yourself that kind of neutralizes that. And oh, by the way, Julius George Jones did score a running touchdown. But, I mean, who you got besides Julius Jones that's going to run the ball and has been slightly fumble prone? I mean, not to the same extent that Adrian Peterson was last year, which, yes, I know he fixed that up this season. I said last year on purpose. Mm-hmm. But so it's the big play factor again. Too many of them. And I mean, first downs the difference in first downs was, what was it, like 13? Yeah, it was absolutely stupid.
And also, what's kind of weird is the difference in rushing attempts. Seattle had 23 of them, and the Saints had 20.
Well,
and besides that big run, the difference in yardage wasn't that much. Besides the 67 yarder, the difference in yards was about 80-something to 70-something.
So,
76.
In a word, big plays.
Yeah,
period.
Big plays.
And also, with the Reggie Bush, you know, he dropped that touchdown pass or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was left part of the game out to do it for a leg. Yeah, I hate the leg.
Uh-huh.
Saying his leg was hurt, and they took him back, saying nothing's wrong with him.
Nah.
You know, they're thinking he's done over there in New Orleans. You know, he's got one more year of his contract, a 6-year contract. I don't think they're going to renew it.
Yeah, because they had already extended him after the year they got to the Super Bowl, a couple more years, I think. But anyway, so that's how that went. Speaking of another game that involved key errors, I take you over to the Jets and the Colts. A little bit of homerism here called for in the game. Chris.
All right, I'll get to the point you're talking about later on, but the Jets upset the Colts 17-16 on a Nick Foles field goal at the top expired. Mark Sanchez, 18-31, 58%, 189 yards, no touchdown, one interception. The interception was right before half in the end zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't even really count. I mean, you're kind of flinging it. I mean, let's call it what it is. Even if the game ends 17-6 for the Jets as it did, the interception at halftime, that's just kind of a fling it and just see what happens. No, that doesn't count. I agree.
Well, you still had some time on the clock.
Right.
It wasn't right before the half.
But could the Colts have realistically done anything?
No, but that was on third down. On fourth down, they could have kicked the field goal. They were on the 23-yard line.
Oh, I didn't understand that.
They're on the 23-yard line.
Yeah, I missed the first quarter, so I or the first half, rather.
They were on the 23-yard line, through the interception, in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
He tried, with a poor judgment, trying to, you know, throw the ball into Dustin Keller, and it was picked off, returned back to the 23. Colts ran a play, then I think Peyton Manning got sacked, and then they just kneeled and kicked it out. But, Peyton Manning was 18 of 26, 69%.
All right. Okay. But I want to ask you about that. Marshawn Lynch, before he took the big run out, averaged 6.9 a carry. Do I say all right for that? I don't know.
It feels like it's kind of have a period in it.
Yeah. Go, Chris. Dang, go.
225. You gotta say it right. It's a good thing messed up by a period, okay?
Go.
Even better, all right.
Go.
Yeah. 18-26, 69%. 225 yards, one touchdown. He was sacked once. On the ground, Sean Green, 19 carries, 70 yards, 3.7 a carry. And LaDainian Tomlinson, 16 for 82, 5.1. With two touchdowns. He did have a long of 23. That's 3.9. Still pretty good. For the Colts, Dominic Rhodes. 14 to 33. 2.4 a carry.
Former Florida Tusker.
Yeah. And Joseph Addai, 13 for 16. 4.6. Average. Through the air, Braylon Edwards had 4 for 62. St. Tony Holmes, 4 for 46. LT, 4 for 17. Dustin Keller, 3 for 42. And Jericho Patry had 2 for 17.
And I think in mentioning Edwards' performance, you need to cite him as making an excellent jumping near the sideline catch to set up Nick Foles' chip shot.
That later on.
Cool.
All right. For the Colts, Blair White, 6 for 54. Pierre Garçon, 5 for 112 with a touchdown. Jacob Hamby, 5 for 46. Dominic Rhodes had 1 for 12. And Brittany Wayne had 1 catch for 1 yard.
Ooh.
But he didn't have a touchdown or a fumble. He just had 1 catch. But he was on Reeves Island. So.
Yes, absolutely.
First downs, Jets had 23 to the Colts 16. Yards, 353 to 312, pretty even. Turnovers, there's only one turnover in the game. That was the interception by Sanchez. Time of possession, 33 minutes for the Jets, just under 27 for the Colts. Third down, Jets were 8 for 15, 53%, pretty good. Colts 6 for 13, 46, still not bad. When the Jets were up 14-13 on a 4th-and-5, they went to punt the ball when there was a running into the kicker ball. And before that, on 3rd-and-5, Braylon Edwards dropped the ball, which would have been an easy first down.
See, he redeemed himself on that for setting up the game. Let's call it what it is.
They then went 3 more plays and out and punted the ball and gave Peyton Manning the ball just under 3 minutes left. And he took them down the field to kick a field goal to go up 16-13 with 53 seconds left in the game. On the ensuing kickoff, 16-14.
And then we went to overtime, and then somebody kicked the ball out of the back of the end zone and got a Canadian point. No, not so much. Canada's
on
done with
kickoff,
1 point.
Antonio Cromartie returned the kickoff 47 yards to Jets 46.
That was also a big deal. Seriously. Yeah. And considering that if Revis didn't hold out, if Revis wasn't hurt, would they have claimed Cromartie? That's the interesting question. If he wasn't threatening to hold out, would they have gotten Antonio Cromartie? If they didn't have Antonio Cromartie, who would have returned that call?
I think they would have still got Cromartie.
You think so?
Yeah.
With Revis.
Okay. Well, even with without the fear of a lack of Revis, more probably put.
They got him way before there was even. I mean, there's the threat of the holdout, but, you know, you're like, oh, we'll get him anyway, but we'll get Cromartie.
Yeah, to be prepared, because...
Well, Cromartie also...
Do you remember how bad the negotiations were going, perception-wise, back then, right?
Well, it wasn't that bad when they got Cromartie, though. They got Cromartie early on in the free agency.
Yeah, it was drafting that first-round rookie, the cornerback. I think that had something to do with the Revis.
Yeah, that had a little more than Cromartie they got before the draft.
Yeah.
They picked him up early.
Okay, I remembered it going a different order. That could be on there. That's cool.
Okay. So when the Cromartie kickoff returned, Mark Sanchez completed 3 passes. They ran the ball once. They brought them down on the 14-yard line when Braylon Edwards caught that underthrown ball.
Yeah.
But the biggest – and then Nick Folk kicked the game winner. But the biggest thing is Indianapolis Colts coach Jim Caldwell called a timeout with 30 seconds left. The Jets had one timeout left.
Right.
But they were on the 32-yard line. They, you know, they just ran the ball. I mean, you know.
The Jets were on the 32-yard line, just ran the ball. Right.
They just ran the ball. They were on the 34. They ran 2 yards. LT ran 2 yards on it to the 32. And then the Colts
still
called
a
timeout.
Still a 49-yard punt with a kicker who has a question.
Right.
Who has a questionable pass and big kicks. No offense to Cowboy fan.
Right. And Jim Caldwell called a timeout. I mean, the Jets could have gone up, you know, ran a play real quick or whatever,
But at least before
they call a timeout,
the ball,
so they got it, and then he throws, you know, a bad ball, a good catch by Braylon Edwards.
Yes.
You know, right down the 14-yard line. They used their last timeout there when the clock came down to 3 seconds.
I mean, at the very worst, it could have been a situation where the Jets would have been forced to have to do one of those run, hurry, hurry, last-minute field goals where something could go wrong, especially, again, not to write him out on it, but Nick Folk not having a very good history in this situation. Instead, they have a timeout. They could take it easy, relax, lay it on back a minute, you know, just very relaxed. But, you know, I noticed how you kind of skimmed over that running into the punter thing, because I'm noticing that a lot of the stats, time of possession, 3.5 minutes apart, what is it, the first down percentage,
six minutes of time of possession difference.
Oh, was it that big? Yeah. Okay, did somebody have 33 minutes?
Yeah,
oh, that's
33.
Okay, that's what threw me off. So it's about 6 minutes, which is a reasonably big gap. Shouldn't have been that big. Got an artificially extended drive off of that.
Yeah, but that play was... Oh, I got it right there. That total play was six plays.
Mm-hmm.
For that whole thing. 1:52.
What total play?
The total where the running in the corner. But there was seven possessions in the second half.
Okay.
Jets got the ball first. They went 10 plays, five minutes for a touchdown.
Okay.
Colts got the ball. They went 9 plays, 4:48 for a field goal.
Okay.
Jets got the ball back, went 17 plays, 9 minutes, 50 seconds for a touchdown.
That's retarded, but yeah.
Okay. The Colts got the ball, 13 plays, 5 minutes and 16 seconds with a field goal. Jets got the ball, up 14-13. They ran 6 plays, 3 of them, then the running into the punter.
Right.
And then 3 more plays, and they had a punt. That only took 1:52 off. Total.
Right.
So, I mean, that's only another minute.
But here's what I'm getting to. The clock was running down as the Jets were kicking that final field goal. If the Colts retain that last ball and they score, as inevitably I feel like they would have, because neither defense was doing a damn thing in the second half. That's what it is. If the Colts got that ball, they would have driven down the field at least for a field goal. Of that, I'm convinced. Okay. Would the Jets have enough time to finish the game?
They would have, because after that 4th and 5,
uh-huh,
Colts came down the field, 8 plays, 1:47, to pick the field goal up 16-14.
Right, but the Jets drive that lasted 1:52 or whatever,
right,
isn't as long. I mean, you need to take a good minute off the clock, and again, the clock was ticking to zero. I mean, granted, you know, they might have had more timeouts or something in place just because the game may have gone differently. I'm aware of that, but it would have been a much more chilling outcome. Nick Folk would have definitely had to kick a much longer kick. I just kind of feel like now
you can say running into the punter, it was everything, but still they punted the ball 3 more plays. The big key one is the kickoff, 47-yard kickoff.
I agree. So that was
that
huge.
Was the bigger difference.
That special team screw up was a difference maker. All you had to do was keep them in their own side of the field.
Right.
You know, he's damn near crossing the 50.
Right.
I agree with you on that.
You text me saying, oh, the Jets just won the game after the running into the punter. Okay, what did I text you back?
There's plenty of game left.
There's plenty of game left. It's the Colts. Sure enough, Colts came right down the field and kicked the field goal to go up 16-14.
Hey, so was I wrong?
No, man. Yeah, but you said it. You always prematurely say it because you said it with the Colts and the Jags. You just text me the thing saying, Colts won the game. And he said, never mind. Right after that. Right after
no, he's
nice
absolutely
Eagles
right.
Too.
I did
nice
do
Eagles.
That. I did do that. That's true. So anyways, speaking of games that ended up being close, but how close they were is certainly a matter of much conjecture. The point I wanted to make earlier is that the Ravens-Chiefs game was not as close as the score indicated, even though it was a 27-point beatdown. I would argue that this game, the Packers and the Eagles, was closer than the score indicated. And there's some people who are quite bitter about it. Right, Weasel? Go.
Yeah, whatever. The Packers went to the Philly and defeated Michael Vick and the Eagles 21-16, giving Aaron Rodgers his first playoff victory. For the Packers, Aaron Rodgers was 18 of 27, 66%, 180 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs. He lost the fumble and was sacked twice. In the running game, undrafted rookie running back James Starks from Buffalo had 23 rushes for 123 yards, 5.3 average.
Hold on, I want to tell it. Yeah, James Starks. undrafted free agent because he didn't even play his senior year in Buffalo for an injury.
Yeah.
Hey. He had his sophomore and junior year in Buffalo. He had over 1,000 yards rushing, both of them. He's projected to be, you know, a top, you know, 3-4th round draft pick, and then he got injured. So,
you know, not to be that guy, but I'm the one who said that the Packer running game would have a presence here. You know, it ain't like I pulled two numbers out of the sky for the Dolphins record and thought I was this crap and said nailed it at least 5 times in the recording in the regular season. Nothing like that. Not that I'm pointing at anybody, right, Weasel? But I said last week that Starks would be effective. Now, I'm going to sit here and lie and think he'd get over 130 yards. But I'm just saying.
Brandon Jackson had 3 for 10. Fullback John Kuhn had 3 for 1. And Rodgers had 3 scrambles for 4 yards.
I also thought John Kuhn would do more. So that is one I did get wrong. But yeah, he didn't need to.
Yeah, he got stopped. John Kuhn got stopped at a 4th-and-1, too, I think.
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
The receiving game, Donald Driver had 5 catches for 56 yards, John Kuhn had 3 for 33, Brandon Jackson had 2 for 27 and a touchdown, rookie tight end Andrew Portless had 2 for 27, James Jones had a 9-yard touchdown but did have a deep pass drop that would have surely been a touchdown past cornerback Asante Samuel just before the first half, the end of the first half. Starks had 2 for 9 and tight end Tom Crabtree had a 4-yard touchdown reception.
Did both you guys watch that whole game?
Yeah.
Did you feel like that the Eagles defense was just suddenly a ton better? I mean, not to the same extent as like Polamalu and the Steelers, but with Asante Samuel on the field, it looked like a different dimension of secondary there. A lot of passes that seemed like would have been completed previously weren't. Just my opinion, but.
Well, Asante's back healthy now, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting back healthy, but. That's funny, they were talking to the announcer in the game, and they're like, I thought they just said, yeah, I get paid to make interceptions, not to tackle.
Hey, you know what? Asante says it, they give him a hard time. Deion Sanders says it being prime time back in the 90s, and he's a hero.
But,
whatever.
I mean, you look at it, though. I mean, I was looking at it before that. Every time there's a pass that's coming towards Asante's side, if there was a linebacker or something that could make a play, Asante would hold the outside so the guy couldn't get to the outside, but he wouldn't try to come up and make a play. He would just make them make the tackle. He'd sit there and go, what's Asante doing? The guy caught the ball 5 yards away from him. But here comes the linebacker tackle, and Asante just didn't. Kind of. But he had the outside contained, so if a guy tries to break a tackle, try to come around the outside, he's there. You know, and Asante come up, you know, he's not going to wrap you up tackle. He's just going to go for your body, your legs, or whatever. The shoulder you out with.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I he's not the big hit type of player necessarily. He's definitely not a Dante Robinson from earlier this season. But anyways.
Now off the first run of the game for the Eagles, Packers special teamist Brandon Underwood was blocked, pretty much blocked into the ball, and it hit his foot, and it was recovered by the Eagles to the Packers' 41-yard line. They advanced the ball to the 23-yard line, and kicker David Akers missed the 41-yard field goal.
Now let me stop you there. How do you feel about the play where the guy is forced into the ball and then they detain it?
I thought it was crap.
He actually wasn't forced. He was blocking the guy and continued blocking. He didn't hear the call off.
Yeah.
Stop. And he was pushing the guy over the ball and he stepped on the ball and he was blocking the guy out of bounds.
I felt like that he was. You said he was blocking. I'm sure as a very talented offensive lineman in high school, you've had that guy you faced who tried to get by you and it just wasn't happening and you just kept pushing him back because he wasn't going to get
right
through you. He was trying to block somebody. He was being dominated, and he got dominated into the football.
Right.
It's
and
a little different.
He stepped on it, and it was just, yeah,
right.
But it's the thing of not hearing the call or
right,
whatever, your head's not there or whatever. But, however.
I mean, I agree with Weasel, it's kind of crap, but it was the correct call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
and then, hey, David Akers having to kick into the wind from 41 yards was the karma that he balanced it all out, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Michael
Vick.
They even said it in the announcement. It's going to be tough to kick the field goal into the wind. Get the wind coming straight at you. And, you know,
That's rough.
They kind of said, yeah, he's going to miss this one.
Michael Vick was 20 of 36, 55%, 292 yards, 1 touchdown, 119, was sacked 3 times. In the running game, LeSean McCoy had 12 rushes for 46 yards, 3.8 average. Vick had 8 scrambles for 33 yards, 4.1 average with a touchdown. In the receiving game, Jason Avant had 7 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown. Jeremy Maclin had 3 for 73. Deshaun Jackson left the game briefly in the second quarter with a sprained knee injury, but returned later, finishing with 2 receptions for 47 yards.
Ask me if you think that was a big deal.
That was a huge deal.
I'm just saying.
McCoy had 4 for 36. Tight end Brent Celek had 2 for 25. And rookie wide receiver Riley Cooper had 2 for 18. In special teams, kicker David Akers was 1 of 3 on field goals, missing the 41-yarder on the first drive of the game, but he did miss a 34-yarder with 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter that kept the score Packers 31, Eagles 20.
And in case anyone's wondering, he's, Weasel is calling for the firing squad, keeping them in the game.
31-20.
The score was 21-16.
21. Take 21 off 10. Games, take off 10. Take off 10. Whatever. Whatever.
I'm like 31-20.
So all just right. In case everybody, just so everybody knows, the score was 21-16.
Wasn't that the final of the first game, 31-20?
Wasn't the score of the other game 17-14? Just saying. At that one point.
No, you're reaching.
It happened. Yeah. I know.
No, but I was saying.
It happened.
No, but I'm actually saying.
Yours was a lot bigger. He was only off by one point.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but no, I really think 31-20 was the score of the first week one.
Keep going.
That's
Weasel,
what I was thinking of.
I think it's 31-20.
The Eagles later forced the Packers to punt, and with 8:50 remaining in the game, Vic led the Eagles downfield for a touchdown with 4 minutes remaining in the game. On the 2-point conversion, tight end Brent Celek caught it in the end zone, but with a lack of awareness, he stepped out of bounds before catching it.
Fail.
After the penalty, the 2-point conversion failed.
Double fail, yeah.
The Eagles' defense forced the Packers to punt with 2 minutes remaining. Because Akers missed that 34-yarder and 41-yard field goal, the Eagles needed a touchdown. Vic led his team downfield to the Green Bay 27-yard line with 44 seconds remaining. And instead of spiking the ball, he called his wide receivers to go on a go route, which pretty much go in the end zone. And he threw an ill-advised pass into the end zone that was intercepted by quarterback Tremont Williams that sealed the Packers' victory.
And I'll say this in Vic's defense of that. He shouldered all of the blame for that. He decided that he should have thrown the ball underneath, which would have been a much more viable option to get a field goal if Akers had made his kicks, or if proper blame is handed to Brent Celek for stepping out of bounds.
Yeah, that's a lack of awareness.
You're still saying that, but still, the James Jones drop in the first half would have blown the game out. You wouldn't even have to worry about that. Also,
a very legitimate point. I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie. People's like, wow, there's a lot of action-packed football. Doesn't mean it was clean football, folks. Has anybody seen the alleged greatest game ever played? That was the overtime championship game between the Colts and the Giants back. I'm going to get the year all wrong, but like Frank Gifford, Deacon Jones, Don Amici, Johnny Unitas. Anybody else seen that game? Putt Summerall, kicker. Very good.
Yeah, I was watching the game. I was watching the game, I think, last year or the year before. What it's on.
That was a dirty, crappy, ridiculously bad game. It was... I don't know if it was snowing and nasty necessarily, but there was more turnovers in that game. It was horrid. Greatest game ever played is an insult to actual solid games, i.e. the Super Bowl where the Patriots lost. That was great not only because the Patriots lost, that's an added bonus, but that was some solid football. That's what it is. Anyways, all that aside, blame to go all around. Maybe we'll get some cleaner football this week. And it's time to go into the study hall, a.k.a. playoff preview for next week. Look, let's get one off the books. Is anyone really going to have the balls to pick the Jets this week? Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
Look, I know you said...
I got reasons behind
it. I know you said you were going to go for broke, but okay, you would be I'll the first broke. One. Okay. Look, okay. I hear you out.
I'm going for broke. But you got to remember, preseason, Super Bowl pick, or whatever. I still have three teams in here that would make it to the conference championship. Three of my teams are still in the conference championship. Like,
Jets, obviously.
Jets, Ravens.
Packers. You had the Ravens.
I had Jets, Ravens. I called it that the Jets would lose in week one against the Ravens, and then they'll meet in the conference championship, Jets-Ravens.
Yes, you did.
And the Jets would win it, go to the Super Bowl. I had the Packers against the Vikings in the conference championship. It was my four teams. So I have three of the teams. I'm picking all three still.
Hey, you know, at least you didn't have the Vikings in the Super Bowl. But as far as actual football strategy, do you have something that could actually?
No, I think the Jets are going to lose to the Patriots. But I'm just saying, I'm picking it because.
All right.
I am picking because
I am not a hypocrite.
All
right. No, I think the Patriots will win. I'm going for broke. You guys are both picking the Patriots. But if
well,
I go with
he needs games to catch up too.
Yeah, yes, I'm 3 games down.
3 games.
But you gotta realize is I still pick the Jets to go to the conference championship.
Yeah.
They haven't played to beat the Patriots. You guys are gonna pick the Patriots. I gotta get a game. I'm gonna stay with the Jets, even though I picked.
He's gonna go down. He's gonna go down in flames, folks.
I have no faith, really, in him. I think the Patriots will win, but I'm staying with the Jets of my preseason division thing. I got three of the teams. How many guys do you got?
I'm so confused.
How many guys still got it?
It's not confusing. I got the Packers, and I got the Packers. No, I think I had the Ravens getting beat by the Colts. So I still got the Ravens. So I still got two.
Right.
And then...
Wait, how many you got?
I had at least the Jets going to winning the Super Bowl.
That's right, over the Vikings.
Over the Vikings, yes. Yes, over the Vikings. That didn't work out so well.
We can solve this quickly. True. Did you have the Falcons making the playoffs?
Me?
No, him.
I believe I did. No, I think I may have had
the But you didn't have them in the NFC championship game, okay? Did you have the Ravens in the NFC Championship game? Let me answer it for you. No, you had the Steelers.
No, actually, the Steelers didn't make the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Oh, they didn't? Oh, that's right. You took into account that they were missing their quarterback
for
4 weeks.
NFC Championship, yeah, I think AFC Championship game, the Colts Jets, right?
Oh, yeah, he would have had to have, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so, whatever.
No, but no, hey, I made the Falcons make the playoffs.
Yeah, you did.
And knock out the Giants. But it's more of a Green Bay
hey,
knocking out the Giants.
Whatever, dude. So. I picked the Giants with a 10-6 record. The only thing I had wrong with about them is I had them making the playoffs. Yeah. Whatever.
I had a 9-7.
You know, so. Unlike some people, I didn't spend the whole show last week going nailed it when it came to that record. I'm just saying. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of people who nailed it, the Bears got lucky again. They're facing off against the Seahawks. Can we talk again about how the Seahawks having a losing record and allowed to have a right? Ruin the playoffs for everybody now? I mean, seriously, who the hell wants to watch the Seahawks and the Bears?
I think Bears fans do.
Good answer, Weasel. I know, that was great. That was an excellent answer. Should have thought of that. Walked right into it.
I told you, I was torn. I've been watching the Green Bay Eagles. I picked the Packers to win the game, but after the Saints lost the Seahawks, I'm like, well, now who do I vote for? It worked for the game, you know? I'm from New York, I don't like Philly, though. But if Philly won, they go get to play against the Bears.
But you at least respect Philly. You at
right.
least respect Michael Vick.
Right.
To hell with Jay Cutler, okay? I'm just saying.
If the Eagles beat the Packers, they would go play against the Bears.
That's right.
If the Packers won, they have to go to the Falcons, and then Seahawks go to the Bears. I'm like, well, that sucks. Well, I think the Packers will win it all. I want the Packers to go to the Super Bowl, because that was my prediction early in the year, but...
So, anyways, now that we got this out of the way, Weasel, who you got first?
For
Bears-Seahawks.
Bears-Seahawks, come on, I got the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, even if the Nana wasn't involved, the Bears are the correct pick here. Seattle isn't going to beat them twice. They don't even belong in the playoffs. You know the game that would have been very interesting to watch? Giants and Bears again. Oh, wait, we can't see it because the Seahawks have their spot. I'm just saying. Rant over. And Chris, you got the Bears as well?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, see, he's not going for that broke.
No, he's not going for broke.
He's just going for slightly destitute.
I'm okay to go 6 down. I'm not okay to go 7. No, it's the rule you said. The Seahawks won earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my rule earlier. It's like, oh, I said the Steelers Ravens earlier in the season. Won the first game.
They had
like,
the revenge game.
I should have picked the Steelers instead of the Ravens because they won the first game.
Not to mention with Hasselbeck having hit pointers and all that, and Julius Peppers is going to be licking his chops.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's going to be weak
for them. Which takes me to the second most difficult game to pick for the week: the Packers and the Falcons. Weasel, because you demanded to go first, that's why I keep.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Just,
oh yeah.
Okay. Just so I got to tell the public just in case they forgot, because I'm not trying to oppress you this time.
I've been picking against the Packers because I think more that I want them to lose. But this is actually gonna be a really good game.
This is a difficult game to pick. I agree.
So yeah, but well, hoping they lose, I'm gonna pick the Packers.
Oh, okay. So you're not gonna pick.
Well, no. He said he has been picking.
It hasn't worked.
Basically,
the past 2 weeks.
he's borrowing from your strategy.
Yeah.
Where I pick the Bears and they'll lose. The problem is Weasel's forgetting that that worked very poorly for you.
Yeah, I know.
However,
it's me though. It's me.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, hey, dude, you're a guy who could throw the ball across the field and score a touchdown off it. I'm just saying. But no, like I'm even writing down notes here. It's hard for me to evaluate the Falcons because really they're not a team we've seen a lot in featured games. Yes, I know there were four games where they played the Bucks and the Saints, right? The Packers and the Falcons played in the previous matchup and they played very close. I think they're a team who just match each other very well. When you break it down, they are very similar. Both have very solid defenses. Both have quarterbacks who are cool under pressure. Both of them have just excellent defenses until we get to the running game. The running game is much more established for the Falcons. However, the Packers have kicked it up a notch coming on late, which makes it even harder to pick. So, I'm at the point now where I have the Packers circled, and I'm like, I don't even know. I'm even thinking about it at work. I don't know why I did that, because I don't know that I'm going to pick them. And, goodness. I think I'm missing something with the Falcons, because I've called them overrated all year, and they've proven me wrong at every stage. So, you know what? I'm going to put my stock in them and see if they let me down. I got the Falcons.
You just want to gain a game on me.
I need to at this point.
Yeah.
Hey, I got screwed over by a running into the punter play. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'm staying with Packers. I think I'm still with the Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm staying with them.
All right. Oh, that's why I picked the Packers the Atlanta, because I picked them to make the conference championship. Apparently, I think I'm going to be wrong. So, anyways.
Hey, but, you know, they took out the Eagles. They're going to take out the Falcons this week, and then they're going to take out the Seahawks next week. So, they're going to take all these parts out.
Yeah. Interesting. The John Arbor Society is going to be real pissed. Yeah. Anyways. So, with that, we go to easily the toughest game to pick in the entire playoffs this week, Ravens-Steelers. I will say this much, this will be the best game for the rest of the season, period. And also, whoever wins this game will lose next week because they'll be too beat up to face the Patriots. But with that, Steelers... Oh, look at this! Look at this optimism! Look at this optimism! Anyways, Ravens-Steelers. Weasel, go.
It seems that they always... If they're both in the playoffs, it seems that they always play each other
at one point. Doesn't it?
So, Steelers. Not going for them. They played strong. I know it's the Browns, but they finished off strong in a... It was a game that meant a lot to the Steelers for them to get the first round by.
Right.
But they still played strong. And you got to play strong to beat the Ravens. So.
You know who finished off really big last week in a game that was pretty important? The Ravens. Just saying. Chris.
No, I got the Ravens kids still. I got them for a conference championship. Stay with them. It's looking pretty good. I mean, three out of the four teams. I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I still got it there. However, I think, you know, they're both battle of defense.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're going to, you know, it's like the feeling again. Yeah, I'm going to pick the Jets, but, you know, kind of knew the Patriots going to lose, you know, win. This one's kind of like, yeah, I want to pick the Ravens, but you got that feeling. The Steelers, you know, they're a little more balanced than the Ravens are right now. I mean, Flacco's been struggling a little bit.
Oh, yeah. He got sacked twice in the first half alone.
Yeah, he had four sacks.
Michael Orr's hurt, right. You know. But basically, it's not so much about who is hurt, I mean, as in Michael Orr, Ed Reed. It's about who's not hurt. In the case of Troy Polamalu, I got the Steelers. So that'll wrap us up for this week, ladies and gentlemen. We got another round of playoffs coming at you here. Sure, there may have only been four games, but we still have a lot to bring you. We'll have a lot to bring you next week before we go into Conference Championship Sunday. Be sure you come to www.thestudentgame.com. Check out the action. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can get it directly that way. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. We'll let you know when the page updates that way, @TheSOTG. Or if you have some comments, if you think Weasel is too much of a homer, well, he couldn't have been this week, but you could go ahead and email us your comments on that at thesotg@gmail.com. And with that, we will see you to preview Conference Championship Sunday.